Hello. Advent reading. Claiming true peace. Keep your eyes on the Prince of Peace, the one who doesn't cling to his divine power, the one who refuses to turn stones into bread, jump from great heights, and rule with great power, the one who touches the lame, the crippled, and the blind, the one who speaks words of forgiveness and encouragement. Keep your eyes on him who becomes poor with the poor, weak with the weak. He is the source of all peace.
Colossians 3:12-15. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful.
And let us pray. Lord, help us to make our way to Bethlehem, to the peace of the Christ child that withstood even the humility of his birth in a stable. Let us know the experience, let us know and experience real peace, the peace that comes from you alone, the peace that you purchased on the cross, the peace that exceeds our understanding, and let this peace lead us to real joy. Amen.
Don't tell them that we're lighting fire at the school, please. We do have certifications for all the drapery that it is flame retardant, so we're good. At least that won't catch on fire. I want to just kind of give you a little bit of a feel and a vibe for Advent. This is our first attempt at Advent. This is really my first experience with Advent, meaning I grew up in churches that did Advent and really didn't understand the meaning. It was just a place that they invited other people to read something and then light a candle, and it was part of the Christmas season, and we want to just redeem that. We want to be intentional. And so last week we started with the first week of Advent. So if you weren't here, last week was about hope. And really this season, and what we're encouraging you to do is not just attend here on Sunday mornings and not just, you know, hear us talk about hope and peace and joy and love, but be intentional with setting your eyes on Jesus this season. Because truly the whole reason for Advent, the meaning of Advent, literally translated, is coming. And so as we celebrate his already coming as a child, and as we look forward to his return and reign, this is the season that we redeem. Not to take our attention off family tradition and other things, not to say that the Christmas tree is a horrible thing to have, not to discount any of those things, but to say, let us be intentional to put our eyes, to put our attention on Jesus this season. And so this morning, as I was kind of getting ready for today, I heard this phrase in me, because today we're talking about peace, and peace is something that we talk about and we desire to experience, but in our fast-paced, our worry-driven society and culture, peace is rarely something that we obtain. It's always something like, oh, I'd love to have peace in the home. Oh, I'd love to have peace at work. I'd love to have peace here. And we don't think of it as something that is obtainable. And here's the phrase that really I want to give you, and then I'm going to build some stuff off of this, is that peace is about placement. And really, if you hear nothing else out of anything else that I say this morning, it is understanding that peace is about placement. And I'm going to explain that in case you're confused by it. But here's what I mean by that. Peace is always based off of something. So if you want peace in your house, that means that your house is not chaotic and your kids aren't fighting and there's harmony between your spouse and you. If you want peace at work, that means there's not conflict at work. There's something. So if you want peace in your finances, that means that your bank account and your budget is in order. It is based on something. Peace is always placed on something. And what I would like to do today in the time that I have is to help us understand that peace isn't necessarily something that comes when there isn't trouble. Because if we wait for peace that is only in the absence of trouble, then we'll wait for a long time. Because if you have young children in your house, you know, there may not be peace necessarily, meaning no conflict, no crying, and all of that other stuff. But you can still have peace, because peace is about placement. And what I want for us today is decide that our placement and the place where peace is going to come from is Jesus. Because if we put our peace on anything else, if you put it on the security of your job, if you put it on the harmony of your house, if you put it on your harmony of your workplace, if you put it on anything else, then it can be taken away, that it can be taken from you. But if we put peace where it is intended, it can be ours. So here we go. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, not only were you the Prince of Peace, but Lord, you came so that we could have peace. And I pray this morning that it wouldn't be just a dream. It wouldn't be just an idea, but it would be something that we could experience. And so, Lord, where there's anxiety in this room, where there's worry and fear about the future, where there's tension within the house, Lord, I pray the peace that comes from you would fall on us. Lord, not the peace that comes with things change, but the peace that you give us as our Lord and Savior. So, Lord, I pray that as I read your word, Lord, that your word would have the power, that your word would have the authority to speak into and encourage us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, here we go. So peace this time of year may seem impossible. I think peace any other time, we might think, oh, it's going to be all right. But peace during the holidays can be even more further from the reality that we experience. Because the very reason that we celebrate Advent and preparing ourselves for the King is to remind ourselves where peace comes from. It doesn't come from the absence of trouble or worry. It comes in spite of them. When our peace is placed on the right thing. See, Jesus didn't come to die on the cross so that we could see what peace looks like. He came and died on the cross so that we could experience peace. So the truth is that if you're not experiencing peace, it's because your peace is placed on something other than Jesus. And our hope for Advent is that as we gather our attention, as we reset ourselves every day and realize what this season is about, that we get to redeem some of our peace that may have been robbed throughout the day. So Isaiah 9, verse 6, it was the very reason He was born. One of the prophetic words about titles of who Jesus, the King, the Messiah, would be was in here. It says, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. I mean, if you read through the Gospels, you get to see someone that other than the garden right before the cross lived in and experienced peace continually. Because he was on the Father's purpose. He put all of his peace on the Father. See, peace comes from a person. Here's one of my favorite verses. I love this, and also something that's kind of difficult for us to experience at times, because what you'll find out is that in the Word, when you talk about peace, it's not necessarily absence of that trouble that we were talking about. There's things that are going on. And in Matthew 11, verses 28 and 30, it says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." See, my next little thing here that I want to give you is that peace comes from a person. See, a lot of times we can get the church all wrong. We can get the church and boil it down to a system of rules and regulations and think that that's what our religion is. That as long as you don't, and if you obey the list, then you're good. Well, I love this verse because Jesus does not say, come to the church, come to the set of rules. He says, come to me. Peace is always out of and from Jesus. Come to me. Let me read this again. Come to me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, peace, it comes from our connection with a God that personally came here so that we could experience Him. And take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's kind of like that statement that I made just a minute ago, that if you're not experiencing peace right now, then your peace is placed on something else. I mean, this same can be said here. If you're overburdened, then you have on the wrong yoke. And we don't think about yoke because not many people are going to go home this afternoon and unsettle their ground with a plow hooked up to your oxen. But a yoke is literally made specifically for the beast of burden. It fits on their neck correctly so that it provides them the least amount of pain. Now, if we try to put on a yoke that was not fit for us, then we experience a burden that's heavier than us because we put things on us. I mean, I tell you, I love to wake up in the morning and go, which yoke will I put on? Come on now. We do this, am I going to put on the angry yoke today and everything's going to frustrate me? Oh, this is so... or I'm going to put on, whatever the yoke is, I'm going to worry because things are not going well. So I'm going to put on that yoke of worry. And then all day we worry instead of putting on the yoke of trust that God knew you specifically and has a yoke that's made for you. This doesn't mean that God's not going to give you any responsibility. He's not going to give you any burden. But the burden that He has made for you is easy and light. To the verse that we read already this morning, the key here is, are you putting it on? See, we can read about peace. We can talk about peace. We can get our small groups in, dialogue. What does it mean to be at peace? It is completely different than actually putting it on. And look on at this verse, starting in verse 12, Colossians 3, verse 12. It says, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against the other, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. I mean, we could have weeks on forgiveness. I think we as a church and a people would experience a whole lot more peace that God gives us if we would live in this place of putting on forgiveness every day. A lot of your peace, a lot of my peace is robbed every day because of unforgiveness that we allow in our lives. Things that are going on that we allow for it to sit there and occupy our brain and occupy our attention instead of allowing God to take care of that. And in verse 14 it says, "And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of God rule your hearts, to which indeed you were called to one body, and be thankful." And let the peace of God rule your hearts. For something to rule, it must occupy. You know, this is intentional. Peace will be like all the other ones that we're going to talk through. Joy next week. It has to be intentionally taken. That's why we're spending this time. That's why this next week talking about peace, it has to be intentional. You have to allow it to rule in your heart. Because I don't know about you, but when I was little, everything was a game. Meaning everything was a competition. Meaning there was a winner and other losers. I didn't win a whole lot, so don't think that I'm being cocky there. But, you know, when you were little, if there was any amount of hill, king of the hill. You know, and some would occupy, would rule over the top of that hill, and then everyone else would try to remove them. It's such a violent game. I mean, really, it's such reminiscent of kind of our adult life. We just do it differently. We don't push them with our hands as much as we do with our words and our other things. But we have to allow it to rule. We have to defend the peace that God gives us, to allow it to rule in our lives. We cannot allow, because when you decide that you're going to experience peace, meaning that you're going to place your peace on the hope that is Jesus, on what He has accomplished for you on the cross, and you declare it, it is you standing on your heel and the enemy trying to distract you and to remove the peace that you've placed there. Like, I don't know if you've ever done this, and I watch a fair amount of movies. Don't judge me on that. I do have filter in them. But if anybody's ever seen Bruce Almighty, anybody? Okay. I mean, not that I get all of my understanding of God the Father through Bruce Almighty, but I love the statement of the wife. So the wife finally gets frustrated, and she goes to the diner, and she's eating with her kids. Sorry if you've not seen it, and maybe ruined the movie for you. And spoiler alert, yeah, so muffle the ears if you haven't seen it. And so she's in there, and she's just aggravated with the process and what's going on, and she doesn't understand. And at one point, she had prayed that God would bring her family together. Because she wanted her family, they were kind of growing apart, and you know, they didn't have that, you know, kind of family unity they had, and she prayed for it, and the very wise God walks over as the guy who busses the table and starts a conversation with her. And He, being God, understands what she had prayed before. And she said, a lot of people think, oh, let's pray for peace, and think God's just going to give you peace. Instead of He's going to give you an opportunity to have peace. You know, where you pray for unity, God's going to give you an opportunity for you to be unified. So the declaration today, which I hope we all leave here with wanting to have the peace that God does give us, understand that that will not go without challenge. It may, disclaimer here, it may be the worst peace that you've ever had in your house as you attempt to claim what is rightfully yours. And I say that to encourage you through the fact, I think sometimes we think, hey, get saved, everything gets worked out. It doesn't. It does not. It didn't go to just being perfect. But God is moving us to a place of experiencing Him completely. And if you understand that as you desire peace and you try to walk into peace and you know that there's going to be some conflict in that, that when it happens, you won't be surprised. You won't let it rob you. You'll realize what's happening and you'll maintain your footing on your hill. I love catching my typos while I'm reading. I says never only. It's never alone, that's supposed to say. John 14, 25 through 27. This, if you are new to reading and the Word, I think some of my three chapters in the New Testament Gospels, John 14, 15, and 16 are just loaded with stuff. It's the preparation of Jesus leaving. He's kind of pre-warning, preparing His disciples that He's not going to be there forever. And is kind of bringing them comfort, declaring about the Helper that's coming. And I'm going to supply you. And this is part of that. This is just so you have context. And John 14, verses 25 through 27, it says, in verse 25, it says, "These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring you remembrance all that I have said to you." And here's 27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." I mean, realize how powerful what He's doing right here. He knows that I'm getting ready to leave. And so these guys have had something that we haven't physically experienced, literally having the incarnation of Jesus in the flesh for 3 years. And for 3 years, He's been preparing them, but they're not understanding that He is going to the cross and He is comforting them. And He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives." Because the world would promise you peace on something that can then be taken away. I mean, our economy could go. You could lose your home. You could lose your bank account. You could lose your job. There are millions of things that could go wrong with you. And as we put in our world, put our peace in what we have, in our peace in what's in our bank account, in our peace in what we drive, in our peace in, the laws. I broke the law this week. I feel like I should confess this in the church. I wasn't paying attention. I was speeding. And I think God gave me a little glimpse in what peace could look like because I was going from one meeting to the other, from Leland to Wilmington, and went on Martin Luther King. There's a little section there that's 50. Okay. And I was going 67. Judge me. That's okay. I'm just airing it out. I'm letting it go. And I'm on the phone with my wife, which is, could be good or bad. It was really good. And so I'm talking to her about an encouraging meeting I had the previous and was heading to meet with a student that I know. And I just wasn't paying attention. I wasn't intentionally going 67 miles an hour. And I saw him and I looked down and I'm like, "God, it's Christmas. Tickets are expensive." And I told Jody, I said, "Hey, I think I'm getting ready to get pulled over for a speeding ticket." And so I got a phone. She's like, "Just call me back when it's over." And you just never know, like, is that like, I was kind of concerned of where that might go. And I pulled over and the guy came up and I gave him a license and registration. And I was just like, "I'm sorry." And he's like, "I clocked you at 67. I said, "I just wasn't paying attention." I was very, "God, give me favor, mercy." something. And the guy came back. He did reduce it 2 miles an hour, so it's not a, I think 17 over is like a misdemeanor. That's bad. 15 and under is a citation. And so he reduced it to where it'd be that. And he said, he notated on my ticket that I was very compliant and nice. And so that he said that goes a long way with the judge. And then I called Jody back. And I'm calculating. I had another ticket 4 years ago driving our pastor's car with him in it. I should not have driven that morning. It was on 74. 74 is another place. If you're not sure, go 55 miles an hour. Okay, like I'm just going to tell you, it's dangerous. And so I called Jody back, and she, and not that she, my wife is super sweet, if you know her, but she was wonderful. She's like, it's okay. We have the money in the bank. It's going to be fine. It's no big deal. And that's the truth, because one activity could have ruined my whole week, could have ruined my whole day, instead of it just being what it is. I made a mistake, and this is the gospel. I made a mistake. God's grace and mercy pays for that mistake, encourages us in the mistake, and loves us through the mistake. And that's where peace is. Peace isn't that I didn't get the ticket. Peace isn't that he didn't come back and go, well, Mr. Cadell, God spoke to me in the car, and he said to let you go, which would have been great, and I might have talked about that too this morning, but that's not what happened. Because peace is not on that. I mean, it, the truth is, we have, it'll probably cost me $325, I've already done the math, for the ticket, and it's okay. At the end of the day, is $325 going to matter? For us right now, it doesn't. And God was gracious enough for us to have at least $325 in our bank so that it doesn't matter. And the truth is, nothing can rob you of that peace if you don't allow it. Because God gives it to us. And it's not as the world gives it. Because the world would have robbed my peace on Tuesday, Wednesday. But instead, it brought something else, you know, because when we live in peace, we get stuff that we would have never. I mean, I actually sent Jody a text later on that day just how grateful I was for her response. So not only did it allow us to have a moment then, but later on I got to be appreciative of that moment, and all because of a speeding ticket. I mean, we're really concerned what I was going to say there when I said I broke the law. Okay. I'd love to, like, add that at the beginning. But I'm like, uh-oh, our preacher went to jail. I'm not sure how I feel about this church. And here's my last verse that I want us to be in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. And this is, give it to Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always. And this is written by Paul in prison. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Meaning, be who you are in Christ always, because God is here. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So the giving here is that regardless of what's going on, with thanksgiving and with prayers and supplications, give it to God. And then, here's the give it to God, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What are you holding on to? What is right now robbing you of your peace? If you'll come on. What circumstance is going on? What ticket have you just gotten? What family drama, what family conflict is taking from the peace that God is saying, declaring is yours? because we're going to go back into our last two songs. And I don't know what yours is. I know what mine are because I'm aware of them, but you know what yours are. And here's how this works. Give them to God and allow the peace that He gives to us to rule and reign in your heart. See, if you don't know Jesus, if you've not experienced the peace that comes from understanding who Jesus is, it's simple. You cannot have peace on your own. I think everybody has been alive long enough to understand that peace is not something that you, by your own power and your own strength, can make happen. But peace is something that God can give us. And how He does that is He came. The power of... is that He came here to settle the debt that you incurred because of the sin that you willfully have walked into. Not after judgment. And our family's reading through this book together in the mornings with our kids about Advent. And I love this one. It was talking about what was the first question that God ever asked. The first question was, out of Genesis, where are you? Adam and Eve just sinned, have just fallen from the grace of God, just done the one thing that God asked them not to do. And His first question wasn't, how could you? His first question isn't, why have you done this? His first question wasn't anger. It wasn't frustration. It wasn't disappointment. It was pursuit. And the great thing about the gospel is God has been saying since the beginning of time, said it even clearer on the cross, where are you? And all you have to do is acknowledge where you're at and understand that Jesus has done what you could not and experience a peace that no one else can give you. So as we go back into our two songs, all I'm asking is that you grab a hold of the season, that you say, I'm not going to allow another Christmas holiday season to go by and it just be filled with presents and tradition and be absent of Jesus. Be intentional. God has allowed you to have a peace that you could not otherwise have. And so I'm going to pray for us. We're going to go back into our last two songs. And what is it that's keeping your peace? Declare it to God. That may be one of those things, maybe an unforgiveness that you have. Someone has done something against you. You're holding unforgiveness, and you may need on your part to have the peace that God promises is to go and to give forgiveness, to allow bitterness, allow frustration, allow what's taking up that space in you to be gone. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it is by Your grace and Your mercy that we have life. It is because of Your open arms to us on the cross that we can experience peace. Lord, as we go into this moment, as we sing our last two songs, Lord, I just pray that You would bring to our attention the things in our life that are keeping that peace from us. Lord, I pray that You would literally show us where we're placing our peace, whether it's on our bank account, whether it's on the health of our family, whether it's on, you know, this or that. And Lord, I pray that You would allow us to see that our peace is only secure in one place. And that's in You. And so, Lord, the peace that passes all understanding, Lord, we just pray in Jesus' name that it would rest on us, Your children. that only say, Lord, we desire what you have to give. And so, Lord, thank you for the season. Thank you for a period of time for us to experience you as Lord and Savior. Thank you for humbling yourself in the form of a child and doing all what is necessary for us to have peace, to have hope, to have life, to have joy, and to experience your love today. So, Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, I pray that you would move in and through us, and that what you do in us, you would allow it not only to benefit us, but to benefit others. We pray these things in Jesus' mighty name.